Welcome back to the 1010 Project Podcast. Do you like that, Josh? I was trying to go very like almost WWE like narrator.
It kind of reminded me of the guy from Saturday Night Live that introduces. You know,
all right, whatever. I was trying to give a little energy here, but hey, Tyler Reagan here, one of your hosts with the one and only Josh Turner.
What's up, guys?
And Josh is sitting in his office with more hunting paraphernalia than you can shake a stick at.
Yeah, it's a lot right now.
So Josh, like, you know, before we get into this whole thing, like, you obviously love to hunt and it's hunting season. Like,
I do.
Are you going to, for those people that don't like hunters like yourself, what are you going to say to keep them listening to this podcast?
So here's what you have to understand. And I'll go scientific on you, that land has a carrying capacity. And if you don't help manage the amount of animals that are on that land, then it becomes a detriment to the herd. So all I'm really doing, Tyler, is the Lord's work.
That's, you know what I mean? You know, it's true though, because just I was out a few weeks ago in Texas. How about that?
Texas. That's a new place.
And they were talking about that. It's a big ranch that does a lot of hunting, and they manage how many does, how many bucks, because the bucks, well, even just the herd as a whole gets messed up when there's too many of one thing, and the animals themselves end up being not 100%.
Well, and there's diseases and stuff that come through, and you're trying to manage the population.
It's fascinating.
And also, you know, sometimes as a pastor, it's just nice to make something bleed every once in a while.
Oh my gosh, just stop. So this is so here's the thing about this podcast. For those of you listening, first of all, thanks for listening. This has been awesome. We've had a great response these first few episodes. And so Josh and I were talking about this today. Like, we're just going to release them when we have content to put out there. It's just, so if you're hoping it's every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we don't know. You never know. It could be every 7 minutes. You don't know. Yeah. If we got good content every 7 minutes, you better watch out.
It's that 7 minute podcast.
So we're just going to keep this train a rolling and see what happens. Today's episode actually is going to be phenomenal with our friend, Steve Carter. Steve does a bunch of stuff, has a couple podcasts. He is a communicator, speaking. He's a teaching pastor at three or four different churches. Used to be at Willow Creek for a little while, like a hot minute. And it's just a great leader. He's one of our coaches and leaders for 1010 Project and has been with us from day one. And so that's coming up. Speaking of people that have been with us from day one, Josh, that music you just heard, the one and only Thad Cockrell. That's right. So if you want to pick up, I mean, you just stream Thad's music constantly. I watch people all the time that are artists and they love listening to his music while they paint, which is pretty awesome.
He's a phenomenal songwriter.
Yeah.
I mean, that song that he has, Oh, To Be Loved by Jesus. Oh my God.
I don't know that I've heard that one.
Dude, we were at Refuge with our friend Brian Carpenter, and we were sitting around the campfire. I'll never forget this. And I think our buddy Jason Laird was there. And he said, if you could only play one song again for the rest of your life, what would it be? And Thad had his guitar.
And I said, living on a prayer.
Living on a prayer. And, but Thad started, I thought you said, never mind. I caught myself. I'm growing.
I'm impressed.
And so, Thad sang, Oh, To Be Loved by Jesus. And dude, it is one of the coolest, most beautiful songs about being loved by God. It's really cool. Really cool.
Well, and also the other ones that have been with us from day one is Help One Now. Those guys have been amazing and love what they do. If you want to know more about Help One Now and how they empower families to help get them out of poverty, then you can go to helponenow.org and check out, connect with that. I know they're doing a ton in Haiti still trying to help because it's just a mess. It's been really, really bad down there, and they are super connected in the country. They believe in it, and they've got people on the ground that can help make things happen. So anyway, helponenow.org. So Josh, what else is going on in your world these days as we're kind of setting up, getting ready for this interview?
Man, been traveling a lot. Was at the art conference last week. I'm getting ready to go this weekend to Jacksonville to preach at the Church of 1122.
Nice.
With my good friend Joby Martin and one of our guys, Adam Flint, who's in 1010. Just a lot of traveling, man. A lot. And I mean, it really, and then you and I go take the 1010 guys to Montana. And then from Montana, I fly to Chicago with my family because I'm on the teaching team up there with the Bishop Steve Carter, but just a lot of traveling, you know? And it's cool right now because our son's home from Montana. So we just kind of hold him and smell his head for 4 days before he goes back home.
Yeah, I think so many people think traveling is like, oh man, and I honestly, you and I both love it. But there's just seasons when you don't love it because it's pretty nonstop.
You hit a, you know, it's one of those things like you and I, we had lunch today, but you know, I told my wife, I said, here I am talking about health and like managing your time and doing ministry at a sustainable rate. And I'm like, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. Yeah. And so it's one of those things where it's like hits a tipping point, you know?
Yeah. And, well, and I would say too, like, Josh and I are committed on this podcast to be honest too. Like that's kind of the life. Sure. I know Josh struggles with that. He struggles to say what he's thinking.
Yeah.
But even for me, I've had an interesting few weeks. I've been dealing with vertigo and dizziness, but in the middle of that discovered that my right ear only is operating at 40% and that's all it'll ever operate at. And
yeah,
man, it was funny when I called Carrie to tell her that, it was just like sobering. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those moments of like, wow, you kind of think medicine can fix everything, but this is kind of my, you know, I get to deal with that. Now, again, if you want to make fun of me,
just do it on your right side.
Just do it on the right side. Then we'll be in good shape. No,
nobody can hear you.
But it sounds like I got a virus about 2 years ago that shut it down.
Crazy,
and it's the craziest thing. So we're just kind of processing if there's any ways, to, any other like ways to potentially fix it, but it doesn't look like that's the case. And yet at the same time, I'm like, God's good. And if God wants to heal it, he can. So it's been an interesting week. And, you know, people are like, well, you got to go travel. I'm like, yeah, you just keep moving on. Kind of do what you do.
You move on, but just a little bit more dizzy.
That's right. Lousy. I've been dizzy.
Just a little off base.
Well, we would love your prayers as a community because we're taking our first group of pastors that kicked off with us in February. We're taking them kind of for their end of the 12-month graduation trip, if you will, Josh, Montana. We're going to do some duck hunting. We're going to do some fly fishing and honestly, just prayer and investing and caring for these group. And I honestly, Josh, if we sat together last year at this time, if you would have told us this is how we're doing a year later and the fact that we've gotten to do this already, it's phenomenal. And so
it's awesome.
Something that went from us just trying to be obedient to serve our friends has turned into a thing that people actually really believe in. And so pretty excited to get to do that. So pray for us, pray for these pastors we get to take away in a couple of weeks. And we're going to move into this interview with the one and only Bishop Archbishop of the Canterbury's.
of the Canterbury's.
There's
of
multiple,
all the berries.
There's multiple berries and the Canterbury's are one of them. But Steve Carter is a longtime friend. He is the podcast host of Home Team podcast. He also hosts Craft and Character, which is his cohort and podcast around communication. Mm-hmm. He helps a lot of churches raise up next generation and next and great leaders to teach. Like that's one of the things he's best at. And so, but he's also one of a coach for us and has just become a lifer friend for Josh and I. And so without further ado, here's our conversation with the one and only Steve Carter. Well, here we go, people. The legendary, one and only, Stephen, Ryan, Smithfield, and Johnson Carter. Just Steve Carter. Most people know him. I just added some names in the middle there. But Steve Carter on the 1010 Project podcast. Josh, that one got you there a little bit.
that one got me.
Hey, Steve.
Dude, he started going off Smith and Wesson. NRA.
Well, when you look at Josh's video and you see the amount of hunting paraphernalia, it's
I was like, I know what you're looking at right now.
Like, I have like arrows, duck calls.
He actually just lit a fire with some sort of scraping technique.
This is all within arm's length. Like
you never know.
Knives.
So Steve Carter is a legend. Steve's become a good friend of Josh and I, and it's pretty amazing. We actually walk through a pretty interesting season together that has kind of solidified our community and our friendship. And Steve, you know, one of the things that was fascinating when all of us were together in Colorado and we spent a night in a cabin with Darren Patrick a few weeks before he took his life, there was something about the realness of those moments together of walking through our faith based on our seasons that we had just come through, that was really powerful. And so I know Josh and I just would would want to say how grateful we are for you as a friend. And that just, we've gotten to live a little life like this together. You know, it was a pretty fascinating season, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you think back like 4 or 5 years ago when we all kind of were coming into, we met and like, kind of were like, we're on the verge and precipice of like so much opportunity and excitement. We saw the future of where our life was going. And then we meet up a couple of years later and we're like, oh my God.
We're in the fetal position on the floor of a cabin.
Yeah. We've just all been destroyed.
Destroyed, right? And you realize like that little bungalow at Lost Valley Ranch where we all just crowded in, and you know, there are 5 or 6 of us who had just walked through a season that we did not see coming.
Yeah.
And I just remember like leaving that place going, I don't think I've ever been in a room like this before. Yeah. You know, I've been in a room where one person was sharing and everyone was trying to understand.
Yeah.
I hadn't been in a room where every single person.
There were like 7 of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're all like, I don't know what happened. My life exploded.
Yeah. Like, totally. And then I think, you know, Tyler, you mentioned, you know, Darren. And then when we, you know, that day we got the news we were all on the call together and just, you know, texting each other and, you know, Tyler, it was in your voice. I heard right away, we got to do something like if this could happen and we were that vulnerable, like there's gotta be something. There's gotta be something.
Yeah. So back up for a second, Steve, because we, you know, what's amazing, and Josh and I talked about this at lunch a little bit today, but like very disappointing seasons, whether they're in our control or outside of our control, looking back to what even that narrative we just talked about, sitting where we're sitting now and seeing what we get to do now and going, I'd rather do this, but the pain was significant. Talk about that for you, how you're sitting in a seat that you never imagined right now because you had other seats that made sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's really great. And I think it's, you know, you take the Romans like 8:28, all things work together for good. And it's sometimes hard to actually believe that. And the conversations, the friendships, the learnings, you know, if I was still at Willow and I loved that place and I loved the congregation, I loved the people, like I loved my job, I wouldn't have had time. I barely had time to go to the Lost Valley Ranch, you know, just because there was so much happening. And especially with where COVID and culture was at, it'd be hard for me to ever get away.
Yeah.
And now just to be a voice, a coach, getting to preach, getting to be and help out at other churches, getting to partner with you guys with 1010. I mean, the ways that God has been able to use me in different seasons and places, I just, all things work together for good, and choosing to believe that, seeing that, claiming that, it's been really, really beautiful.
Well, and I think what you said, man, like you said choosing to believe that, like it's a choice. And I think that so many people, you know, when we go through these hard seasons or we go through trials or traumas or whatever the case may be, like you have to make a logical choice of the way that you respond, because if you stand on your emotions, you're going to be a train wreck for the most part. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so I think it's one of those things, and you know, you and I, we laugh about it and we do stuff together now in Chicago, but like we were bonded through trauma, you know, together. And it's like, okay, nobody gets this. Well, I know that Tyler and Steve, and maybe there's a couple other guys that get this, the darkness, you know, like, and,
none of us get your darkness, Josh.
It's deep.
It's unrelatable. Okay.
I told Tyler when we were sitting here recording stuff earlier, he goes, what are you doing? I'm on my phone. I go, oh, I'm looking for a new counselor here in Atlanta. That's what I was doing. So I'm literally texting friends like, hey man, you got any good counselors that I can see? I go, I just need to process some stuff. So, so I got a question for you. Like, you know, we talked about the stuff that we've walked through together, you know, and then here come Tyler and I after everything with Darren. And we say, hey, we're starting this year program to try to help guys. and you're super busy. You've got 37 podcasts that you run. You work for 74 churches.
It's amazing how you do all this.
You're coaching roughly 137,000 communicators. So every time I see you, I'm like, good Lord, how does Steve, like, I imagine at night that you just shut down. Like, you don't go to sleep. You're like a robot. Someone just pushes a button and you just fall. You just directly just shut down. But so when Tyler and I came to you and said, hey, you know, this is what we're trying to do and we really want you to be a part of it, what was it that made you say yes to stepping out when you have to help us and to be a part of this when you have all these other things that are going on as well?
Yeah, well, first off, I think it was a deep resonance. You know, when you guys wrote down the idea of 10-10, it feels very similar to crafting character, right? The sharpening of the axe, you know, a vision of a life, John 10-10, Ecclesiastes 10-10. Like, I just feel like that whole idea for me just was like, this is incredible. But what I loved was you were putting people in situations that were outside their comfort zone. Like, I've never been on a snowmobile before. And then all of a sudden we're not just like going in the snow. We were going in the middle of nowhere around cliffs that I should probably not tell my wife where I'm at.
Yeah, exactly.
And so like you were putting people in places and in situations that was requiring a level of vulnerability, and most of us are in situations that we can control, and you are putting us relentlessly in situations that were outside our control, whether with on-site, whether snowmobiling, with a whole bunch of alpha guys. And I just was like, the chance just to walk beside them, to pray with them, to just encourage them. It was just something that I was like, This is what I want to be, a pastor to pastors, a leader to leaders. And you guys gave me that opportunity. It's been an absolute delight and blast.
So let me ask you this. And you just said this, and I was having this conversation recently with somebody. I can't remember who it was off the top of my head, but you said, I want to be a pastor to pastors. And I know that that's what I feel called to, and Tyler and some of our other friends. Do you think that you can be a pastor to pastors if you have not walked through some sort of trauma in the ministry?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying,
or that, does that, like, just make us feel better about ourselves? Is that what?
I mean, I think there's something really, really powerful when someone can say me too.
Yeah.
I think it's really, really powerful when someone goes, oh yeah, I know you're in the second stage of grief. Oh yeah. 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 Like, you know, I mean, I was with, a pastor, and he just looked at me and he said, Steve, you got to understand, you can have firsthand wounding. You can have secondhand wounding. You can have firsthand healing, but you can never have secondhand healing.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy cow. And so just thinking about, and he was talking about your family, like you can't, just because you get healed from something, that doesn't just transfer over to your family.
No,
this work will have to be for your family. And I was like, cause he's walked through this. Yep. He had to walk his family through this.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just that stuff where you go, I wouldn't have had a map on pain.
I think too, with pain, like, here's what we want to believe. And this is the way I was even before, you know, we have our special needs daughter and then everything that happened to me at Celebration that did. And we want to believe that there's some part of us that this will never happen to me. I'll never, like, and that's the funny thing to me. And I know you work with a lot with pastors too. And dude, I talk to these guys all the time and I'm always talking to them about what they're going through and where they are in their life and what's going on in their world. And they always say, like, oh, I would never do that. Or that doesn't apply to me. I would never get unhealthy. I was just preaching for a buddy and he's a younger guy. He's in his 30s. And that's funny that I say that now. And I'm like, he's younger. He's in his 30s. And I said, bro, I said, what do you, he's got a great church, great communicator. And I said, bro, what do you do for fun? He's like, this is fun, building the church. I'm taking, you know, and I'm just like, hey man, at some point, this isn't going to be fun. And I think that you do have to walk through some pain, like to be able to help people in the future.
Yep.
And so for those of like people that are listening and you're sitting there and you don't know what to do with like this pain or this, whatever that you're feeling like, just know that it's one of those things that God often and most likely will always use to help others. And he gives you an empathy as you walk through it first for others. And
well, if you let him, right? Like,
well, yeah, it's a choice. I think that's the key. To the choice.
Yeah, it does, because it's one of those things that we can live as the martyr now.
Yeah.
And not move forward and bring God glory through the redemption of that pain, yep, through the hope that that pain brings,
yep,
or we can wallow in it and not move forward. And that's the choice we get to make.
Well, and it's like, I think I told both of you, but like, you know, I was just at the art conference and, you know, the guy that hurt me pretty significantly, I saw for the first time at the art conference and I asked him to sit down with me. And so we sat down for half an hour. We laughed. We hugged each other.
And I enjoyed our conversation.
You did. That's what Steve was talking about. I'm being vulnerable.
Keep going. Okay, keep going.
Sharing my heart. God, you're just like my wife. Yeah. You don't care about my feelings at all. I'm just a paycheck to you. No, that's not true at all either. But like, dude, what it did for me was, that was really well played, by the way, Tyler. Dude, it healed me.
Yeah.
Like it healed my heart. And what I realized is it's easy to be bitter at a distance, right? Like you can create your own scenarios, you can keep whatever. But that was a choice. That was, yeah, a choice I had to make to wade into the uncomfortable moment and be like, hey man, we haven't seen each other in 3 years, you know? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I think it's super important.
Well, Josh, this is so important, because anybody who walks through pain, especially at the hands of a leader,
yeah,
or a group of leaders, you will have to fight to choose to prepare your heart, because,
yep,
you won't always know if that person's going to be at that conference.
Oh, for sure.
You might like run into that person and you got to go, man, am I going to want to take a swing?
Yeah.
Or am I going to want to extend a hand?
Yep.
Am I going to want to invite to a meal? You know, yep. And I think that's what's been so beautiful walking with you, is the honest work that you've been doing. And I think that's the piece for all of us. That's the stuff I'm in. Mm-hmm. I mean, Willow didn't hurt me. Five people did.
Yeah.
And it's, yep, my job to, yep, make sure that my heart is ready, yep, so that if God ever opens the door, that I can do what you did and sit, yeah, down with those five people and say, hey, like, this is how you hurt me. I still love you.
Yeah.
But like, let's chop that up.
Well, and what was so crazy, I told my wife, I said, I feel totally different.
Yeah.
Like, I, like, you know what I'm saying? And it's the moment of like, I've just learned in my life personally, like, if there's something awkward or uncomfortable, usually not what I say, Tyler, but like awkward or uncomfortable, like a situation, that's probably the thing that I need to wade into the most.
Sure. And, well, you do stand really close to people, so that's awesome. But I would say this, like, what happens?
I didn't even have a comeback. That was quick. Like, I usually can come back at you. That would call me.
It's one of my spiritual gifts.
Reagan's up 2-0 on Turner. Dude, right?
He's got me against the ropes.
But, and here's the fun part. I go right to this serious moment. But like, the problem is with pain, if we don't deal with it, is that it entraps us. And it doesn't matter that somebody hurt us. It then becomes, how do we respond? It's leadership 101. Leadership 101 says, I can point fingers and blame everything else, or I can, mm-hmm, choose to respond appropriately. I can say, I'm not a good leader because my organization stinks. I'm not a good leader because my boss is a mess. No, you're not a good leader because you're not responding appropriately to what needs to happen. And it's the same thing with pain. We get trapped when we let that bitterness and that anger and that frustration, yep, continue to create narratives. It's what Brené Brown talks about. It's the story we tell ourselves over and over, yeah, and over again. And Josh, I think to your point, when you're face to face with it, it's no longer a story. It's a person,
yeah,
and it's real. And you recognize, gosh, they were like one person in my life that we had to go through some serious restoration in. When I actually approached them and asked forgiveness for my bitterness, they were the one that hurt me, but it was my bitterness, yeah, that was entrapping me. They broke down saying, well, here's what was going on in my life. Here's why I was a mess. And I'm so sorry. I never meant to hurt you. Like, you don't even know half the time of what's going on. And so,
we all get hurt by people because they're also hurting people. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
hurt people.
That's right. Well,
and I think what Tyler, you're also naming is, you know, Ortberg says, you know, a lot of people have, and they struggle with lustful thoughts. you know, those kind of sexual fantasies. He goes, but a lot of leaders, they struggle with anger fantasies. Mm-hmm. And we spend time stewing on, if I see that person, here's what I'm going to say. And you're like hitting your steering wheel. You spent all this time imagining, if I run into them, this is how it's going. Well, all that's doing is creating one muscle memory, or in Dallas Wheeler language, like embodied will. Like, this is the bitterness. It becomes the ground, fertile ground for bitterness and anger and rage and slander and gossip and leaking, like just bad stories about that person. Or you can say, like, now I'm going to prepare my heart. And that's the defining the reality, which you're talking about, Tyler. And then when that day comes, and it might be 3 years later, it might be 10 years later, it might be 6 weeks later, you're actually ready. You're ready to own what you need to own.
And here's the thing with the timing. I think part of that's just the grace of the Lord, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Like, it's the Lord going, okay, now y'all can sit down because
you were ready before.
No, before I was like the Hulk and the Avengers. My secret is I'm always angry. You know what I mean? Like, but like skinnier and fatter.
Yeah, I was about to say you're too skinnier and fatter than what?
At the same time, it's skinny fat. I don't want to talk about it. But like it is, and I think that's the grace of God saying, okay, now you're ready for this, and now I'm gonna put you in this situation. And it's just super healing for me, and really incredible. But hey, Steve, I want to ask you a question. We're gonna shift gears because we didn't bring you on here just to talk about all of our dark wounds that all of us have together.
Tell me the worst thing your father said to you.
What's your favorite sin, Steve?
Unspoken.
Bro, I like that. That's hey, from now on, Tyler, when we meet people, first question. Hey, so tell me about the worst thing your dad's ever said to you. That is so funny, dude. Oh my God. I carry a list in my pocket. And so here's what I ask. So you are you're a massive like communicator. And I know you're very humble, but you preach all over the place. You do a ton of cohorts teaching people how to preach. I've heard you preach a lot. You and I
gave you a C+. That's what he reported me.
And so you and I actually preach together now in Chicago together some. Why is it for you that when you think about leadership and you think about the church world, and you think about, you have really honed in on the gift of communication and helping other people develop that? Why do you feel like that's such an important thing for people to focus on?
Yeah, well, you know, if you look at 1 Timothy 4, you know, the great like youth ministry, student ministry verse, you know, don't let anybody look down on you, but set an example, you know, and he names like five characteristics, right? You know, and it's really what Paul's saying is like character, 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 character. And I think it's so important. And we have been about charisma, charisma, charisma.
Yeah.
And I think Paul was constantly to Timothy, it's about character. But underneath that, then he says, hey, don't neglect your gift.
Yeah.
He's like, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture and to preaching and to teaching. Then he says, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. And so like what Paul's saying is, hey, you should be better at 40 than you are at 25.
Yeah.
You should be better at 60 than you are at 40. I hope I'm a better preacher at 72 than I am today.
Yeah.
And I think it's this ongoing process to try and articulate with a proper hermeneutic, an interpretation of the text that meets the demands of today, the ache, the strongholds, calling out the good desires in people. And I think we can all remember moments where, man, I never saw it that way.
Yeah.
And someone just was able to bring that to light and it helped you make sense of the kingdom of God, made you want to live differently. And so I just still think that there's power in the spoken word. I think it's more beautiful when someone lives what they preach.
Yeah.
That's like, a novel concept in its own right.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But like deep down, I just have seen so many communicators plateau. We all have executive coaches. I mean, Tyler, you're an amazing leadership coach, but I didn't know very many preaching coaches. So you just had guys for 40 minutes just kind of stumbling their way through. And I'm like, you could be better.
So what's one of the main, like, as you're coaching these guys and girls that you're working with, like what's a couple of the things that that you really focus on when you're helping them learn to communicate?
Well, the first thing I try and do is I help
besides not preaching heresy.
when I was starting out, my
it's a standard, Josh. We're just gonna let that be the standard.
Yeah. My preaching professor, Joe Grana, he would have a sign. And it just did heresy on it. And anytime someone would get close to that, he would just raise the sign, which is so God. Great.
I'm going to take one of those to church on Sunday.
the first thing I think is every band has to know their sound. You know, so you had from Malcolm Gladwell, Outliers, you know that the Beatles spent 12 hours a day in Berlin, 6 days a week playing. And that's how they honed their sound.
Yeah.
Most communicators don't know their sound. They know the sound that they want to be like. I want to be more like Judah. I want to be more like John Mark Comer. I want to be more like, Albert Tate. Like, I want to be more like this person. They don't know how they were uniquely made. They can quote Jeremiah, but they don't believe it for themselves when they're actually preaching. Yeah. And so for me is I want to help them identify, man, this is your unique sound. And people have to understand that if I understand what I can expect from you as a communicator, it lets the walls of my heart go down and allows me to receive. If I don't know, like, Josh, what your sound is, I'm not going to invite my friends because I don't know what's going to come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to help people go, if you can own the unique voice that God has given to you and the uniqueness, I mean, I'm going to bring up sports in every message because that's a part of me. And I'm going to tell stories. That's a part of me. I'm going to bring out Jewish roots. That's a part of me. If I don't do some of that stuff, I've had people come up and go, are you okay? Like, is everything
all right? Are you backslidden?
Yeah. What's the unspoken? You know, like, I just, you know, but because they've become accustomed to, man, this is the healthy version of Steve preaching.
Yeah.
And so I just want to first off, start there, and then I really want to get to how they prep, how they live, and then what feedback literally looks like. And so we just talk through that.
It's great, Steve. If you want to know what sound Josh makes, it's a turkey call-ish version. He's got a
that's where we're at. Just me and the duck call on my desk.
That's his sound uniquely. You know, Josh, it makes me laugh because you and I tend to quote each other or other people we ran into. Steve's always quoting people he actually read. It's pretty impressive because
my quotes are like from Dumb and Dumber.
Exactly.
Yep, Brothers.
And dude, from Tyler, some sort of Kirby Smart.
Well, Tyler just, I heard, been quoting Andy Stanley for the last 10 years and it wasn't even an Andy quote.
But it's, when you work for him for a long time, it's just what it is, man. It is what it is.
That is the
genius
way. Let's
be honest,
way.
Most leadership stuff, we just give it to Andy or Craig Rochelle. It's one of the two.
Craig said it again.
Steve, if you guys don't know, Steve's a huge Michigan Wolverine fan. And honestly, it's kind of like Liverpool was bad for a long time and that's not good for the Premier League. Michigan is getting there and it's good for football when Michigan is winning. Florida State, we don't care about, but Michigan matters. And honestly, Steve and I were talking, Georgia and Michigan could be on a collision course here for a pretty awesome playoff. Steve, you love content as a whole, like in culture and how this plays in and your communication. So you've got a couple podcasts, Home Team, you've got Crafting Character that you spent a lot of time with. Home Team. I just said that. Now you have even the moment we go, is that right? That is right.
That's
though,
right.
Isn't?
Yeah. Home Team podcast. Yep.
But why have you kind of poured a lot of your face, your attention into the podcast arena in the way that you do those things? What do you love about it?
I mean, I love the fact that you can, jump on a Zoom call like we're doing right now, record and have a lively conversation. And, a couple thousand people listened to your first episode of the 1010 Project. And that's and it was a great episode. And there were moments where I listened to it where I was like, that was actually really, really helpful for something I was walking through. And I think just the ability to hear from voices you trust, from people you respect, that actually have something good to say, man, it's fun. And so I think the niche of sports or the niche of preaching and communication with Craft and Character, it's just been fun to kind of dive in and chop it up and invite some friends in to interview. It's been great.
Yeah. I think on your home team podcast, if you could just have me come on every once in a while and just give an update of Florida State football.
Oh man.
It'll gosh. Just be
ooh, that'll kill.
It'll just be a very depressing.
Oh my gosh.
Do you know what I mean?
But like, it'll be our like Atlanta SNL Braves skit. Are in the World Series, guys.
Atlanta Braves.
I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Hey, let's just Georgia's got to win something, right? No, you've been something. So close. You've but been see, so here, close.
Here's what you have to know, Steve. When the freaking Dodgers came back and won game four,
yeah,
Atlanta sports people go, done. Here we go. It's the Patriots of the Super Bowl. It's called momentum, and it goes against Atlanta more than it goes for it. And so we all, as hurt, deep down, painfully hurt Atlanta sports fans, we're just waiting for – but this felt different, and it turned out a little different. And maybe Georgia could be different this year too.
Hey, let's just bring it full circle. We talked about when there's pain, you got to choose to embrace respond? And respond, choose. Right?
Hang it.
And so, and for the first time, you know, if Kirby would have put Justin Fields in, I think Georgia Bulldogs win. you know, I just say that. But anyways,
he's killing it for Chicago right now.
Dude, he's going to get killed because he's going to get killed.
Oh my gosh. Boy, so, the ESPN does not like Coach Nagy, do they?
No, he does. No,
it's not good. But yeah, if you guys aren't like, again, what I love about home team is Steve loves sports. The people that he has on that are amazing, world-class professionals when it comes to sports. Check that out. But also Craft and Character is another podcast that Steve's a part of. Josh.
Yeah, I was looking at all the questions you sent me. And so I was trying to figure out if I wanted to ask one of your stupid questions or one that was really good.
I'm trying to figure out how to respond in pain.
How did your parents triangulate their marriage through you?
Well, just move. Let's just talk about his books there, Josh. Yeah,
this is my, oh, it's, what if you asked that question and all of a sudden everyone listening only heard me like softly crying?
Like, then they'd get used to it.
Yeah. I'm a crier, Gus. Well, So I want to know, I know you just came out with a book, and you know, one of the things that we love doing is not only having on and having some serious conversations and making fun of each other and laughing, but dude, we're like, as your friends, bro, so proud of you and everything that you've done with all the podcasts and all the cohorts and stuff that you're teaching with. But I want you to talk about your book, what it's about and why you wrote it for everyone listening. And then they need to go buy it.
Thanks, man. Well, you know, I think part of it is once you walk through kind of the implosion that we've kind of all experienced, you find yourself wondering, like, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, like what happened?
Well, what happened was, Steve. What happened was.
You know, you feel like you're living a dream in those moments, don't you?
Yeah.
Like
you think you're going to wake up. Yeah. You think you're going to wake up. I still think I'm going to wake up and it's going to be February of 2018. Agreed. You know, and I'm like, oh man, Michigan might be good this year in football. No. But like, I feel like in Romans, Paul says, I do not understand what I do. Mm. Which I think is a good statement to make. I just don't think any of us, no leader can say that today. If I say something dumb on Twitter and my wife goes, why'd you say that? I can't go, hey, Paul said, I do not understand what I do.
That one's on me.
Yeah. You know, she's like, you better start understanding. And I think part of it was like, I think part of it, the book was not just what had happened, but like, why does this stuff happen in me?
Yeah.
And the question was, why do we do what we do? But better said, why do I do what I do?
Yeah.
And so that just led me to a quote that a mentor had said to me like a decade plus ago about getting after the thing beneath the thing and realizing like, oh, we all carry pain and trauma and baggage. And every time we get triggered, all it is someone getting close to that pain point.
Yep.
And I've always seen that as permission to escape or to create a false story about myself or another person. But I really began to realize like, no, that's actually what grace wants to do is to heal those parts of our story. And so this is a book that just tries to help you identify what is the thing beneath the thing. What are those triggers? What's even underneath that? And what you can do about it to actually walk a life of wholeness and holiness and spiritual health moving forward.
Yeah. Dude, and you're doing a little tour on that, aren't you?
Yeah. So Food for the Hungry came out.
Where are you going?
right. So for the fall, we're just going to do like four cities, like Indianapolis, Chicago, Phoenix, and Orange County. Yeah. And then 2022.
Orange County isn't a city. Go ahead.
It's got more people collectively than like Montana.
Yeah.
Idaho.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but we'll go to Costa Mesa to be exact. Fair enough. So yeah. So we'll head out there.
That's fun.
Yeah. It should be good.
Hey, Steve, as we kind of wrap up, one of the things that you're passionate about and
Interview's not going well. You just want to end it right now.
We're going to shut it down.
No, we're done. we're done. I'm just trying to give you a runway to kind of help get you out easy. Oh, great thoughts. Okay.
well, see you next week, guys.
I think one of the things I love about you and Josh and I have the same, we just love coaching and whether it's in sports or whether it's in executive or leadership or even like we said, preaching, you never get really old enough to not need a coach, right? Like, and community in a sense goes along with that. Why do you believe so much in the coaching community for the long haul aspect? Because stuff that we're really even trying to create with 1010 Project. Why have you seen that work in your life? And why do you commit to that day in and day out?
Yeah. Well, I think if you, and again, I love sports. So when you see Damon Lillard have a shooting coach, we have Steph Curry have a shooting coach. When Tiger Woods was at like the peak of his game and he wins the Masters and then he goes to his swinging coach and he's like, dude, we got to change the swing. And they break it all down and they rebuild the whole thing back up. And he comes back the next year and hitting the ball even farther. You look at it and you go, the greats have always had people in their life to take them to the next level, to take them to the next mountaintop.
That's good.
Take them to the next place. And I think it's actually insecurity that prevents us from actually maximizing our talent. And so I think that, you know, these guys that are in the 1010 cohorts right now, they're actually saying like, hey, we need community. We want to be better. People that are in the craft and character cohorts, we know we've been given this gift. We want to maximize that gift.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody wants to get to the end of their life and go, man, with all the gifts. The gifts that God gave me, like I
squandered this really well.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And we see that in sports again. We've seen it with leadership potential. We've seen it with preaching potential. We've seen it with, you know, someone on the basketball court. You know, you sit there and you go like all of that potential. And I just know I'm not good enough. And I have so many blind spots on my own to get me to where I need to go. And this is the great way that God has created the story, the cloud of witnesses. It takes a constellation of mentors to help you get to where you need to go. Yeah. And so I find like when you have those kinds of people in your life, man, you set yourself up for the best chance of success in the kingdom, personally, interpersonally, and also for Christ's glory.
Yeah. I love it. Steve, how can people keep up with you? What's the best way for them to stay engaged?
Yeah, you can go to my website, stevecarter.org. You can go on Instagram to I Hate Josh Turner or at Steve
Ryan
Carter.
That one has some followers. Good gracious.
A lot of fans. It's
just a bunch of pictures of me looking sad. But I'm always like eating.
Duck calls.
I'm always sad eating somewhere.
Oh my gosh. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But it paints a picture. I'm a wordsmith.
Clearly know exactly what you're talking about.
What I'm talking about.
Oh my goodness. No.
My parents are going to listen to this and be like, God, they're really mean to you sometimes. And I'm like, Mom, I do this to myself.
No. I will say this though. What's so great though about the kind of community in 1010 is the fact that I don't know a place where I have been as deep and laughed as hard.
Yep.
Have been as vulnerable and like as experiential, like trying stuff that are so far outside my comfort zone. Like there's something in that that like is a flywheel that I'm like, dude, I laugh harder. I'm scared more. I'm way more vulnerable. And like, and I'm just in a place of like, where we need each other.
It's safety.
It is.
Steve.
It is. It's that, total that's trust.
It's the way it works. I know that sounds serious, but it is.
No, like, it is.
When you feel safe, you can laugh the hardest you know how because you're not filtering it. And then you can be as honest as you know how. I mean, we had a couple of guys say that they felt safer at on site with a group of guys they've known for 6 months than guys they've known for 30 years. And watching you and your group kind of just gel and come together at on site and watching how powerful that was. And even today, we've gotten a text from one of the guys in our group who just asked for prayer this week. And we saw a pretty much a miracle is a what miracle. It seems like.
Totally.
And he shared that because this is that community of safety that he felt not only vulnerable or safe enough to say, I need prayer, but two, I'm celebrating with that group. That's the first text I'm sending. And I just think, wow, that's pretty powerful. And I'm just, I know Josh, you know, I don't have to speak for Josh because he'll speak for himself, we just, you've been a big part of this. And for you to say yes from day one really meant the world to he and I, who were just trying to step into something out of obedience. And knowing you were in our corner allowed us to be even more obedient in that. And so thank you for being a part of this little community with us.
Dude, I'm so for you guys. And seriously, if any of you are listening, I can't recommend it enough. I just think whether you're in the business world or even just marketplace or just pastoring and leading, I'll just tell you, as a coach, watching these two, but just the conversations that I've been able to have with these guys, the places that we've gone, the experiences that we've had, it didn't just do something in me. It did something in us. And would love for you all to be a part of it, because it's really, really great. Kingdom special work. So grateful for you too.
Cool. Thanks, brother.
Thank you for listening to the 1010 Project podcast. If you want to know more about 1010 Project, you can go to 1010project.com. That's the number 10, the word 10, project.com, or you can follow us on Instagram at 1010 Project. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
I saw you the other night, down the street you were walking. I remember when I held you tight, I felt like a millionaire, and you were laughing and carrying on. The sky was pink and yellow, and I'm okay, but it hurts you're gone. I just took a deep breath and stared. I'll get over you in time. I'm not ready. I'll get over you in time. Slow and steady. Oh, 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 oh. I got a call in the middle of the night, so I drove to Oklahoma, and I was there by the morning light. You were a beautiful Indian. And I remember when I was a kid, you were always there for the loving. And then I watched you drift away. I just took a deep breath and cried. I'll get over.